You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news, sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show.
All right, again, I want to welcome you to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. You have tuned in to our Point Counterpoint program, when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. If this is your first time here, welcome. The chat room is now open. You can call in and join us at area code 909-265-9189. If you want to be a part of the program, if you have some questions or comments, you can leave them in the chat. You can email us also at bobc@soulofsyracuse.com. Now, on this program, we have actress Essence Atkins versus filmmaker Tyler Perry, NAACP, I guess he's the executive director, maybe president, Ben Jealous versus the interest of black people. Now, this is just a little something that we found kind of interesting with the NAACP saying, here's what the Republicans need to do to get black people. I don't know what that's all about. And we have Momia Abu Jamal documentary is pulled from the theaters in New Jersey at the last minute. That's on the program. And Vibe magazine has been sold, or like Finesse would like to say, been sold out. But they had a buyer. Someone bought Vibe magazine. So we have that, entertainment updates, and more. Again, you can send your comments or questions to bobc@soulofsyracuse.com. Now, in case you missed it, you know, you can catch us in the archives on downloads on iTunes, or you can just go to espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com/bobc. That's espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com/BOBC. I don't know why I'm stumbling over this. Now, again, if you missed the show last week, you can find in archives. Last week's show was Jackie Robinson's 42, the movie, and Ernie Davis's The Express. They weren't competing movies, but we talked about both movies. Whoopi Goldberg talked about The View and her directorial debut of Comic Legend, that biopic of Moms Mabley. We had a movie preview of People's, in the movie that's out. So with that being said, I am going to welcome in our partners in crime. Let's see if Kai is ready. How are you, Kai?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm good. Are you on the move?
Yes.
You're always
on the move.
See,
or if you move me, I'm not hanging up on you.
And I usually give you some time to settle in, but apparently I just jumped the gun on you already.
That's okay. How are you?
I'm good. And last week, you know, we had some comments that we knew that you would probably tear up, and you missed the show, so we're going to probably have to bring some of those up. And we also have our other partner in crime on the show today. Daniel is here.
What's going on,
Daniel? Daniel also sounds like he's on the move, don't he?
Yeah, always.
Hey, we always have to keep it moving. On the program, and I know Finesse is going to be here because Finesse wants to yell about that Vibe magazine being sold. He's all about black ownership, but apparently Vibe hasn't been black owned since Quincy Jones started it in 92 or something. So, but
really?
Yeah, venture capitalists bought them, and now they've just been sold again. So, and they're going to shut down the print version of Vibe. It's just going to be online for a minute, but we'll talk about
that. Oh, wow.
Yeah, now, before we get started into the show, because our first topic, of course, let me recap our topics today. We're talking about Essence Atkins versus filmmaker Tyler Perry. They bombed me last week, Kai. They were all citing on Tyler Perry. Finesse seemed to think I'm a hater of Tyler Perry. But, you know, I'm going to hate them today because Essence Atkins, she just asked the question, so I'm not going to let people bomb her. Ben Jealous from the NAACP, he wrote an editorial in CNN asking, is it possible for Republicans to win black votes? And we're going to talk about that in our right after our break.
Question.
I have a problem with that, of course. And by the way, Herman Cain and Ben Carson also met for African-American outreach. So, yeah, that should be pretty interesting to talk about.
Yeah.
From those two. So that's on our program today. Now, before we get started, because I know you might have something on this guy, gospel artist, I don't know if you know him, Dietrich Haddon.
Uh-huh.
He recently announced the end of his marriage. Haddon talked about a cheating scandal involving Isaac Kyrie. And his new fiance. Haddon said, I learned that people are not ready for the truth or transparency. When you go there, they're like, what in the world is what he said? And he talked about his telling the truth online. So a short while ago, Haddon spoke about his hatred towards Kyrie with respect to an alleged adulterous relationship affair with his wife, Demita Haddon, now his ex-wife. He divorced her right after, but this guy had an affair with his wife.
So Kyrie had an affair with Haddon's wife?
Yes. And so,
oh, my God.
I usually don't do gossip, but in a Facebook message, Haddon wrote, I do expect Isaac Kyrie to stand up, be man enough to own his mistake, and give his fans the truth they deserve. Now, when you're doing gospel, is it right that you get to kind of talk like that? I don't think that's a black-on-black crime, so I didn't make it on topic.
I think gospel went out the window, and my question is, why is this not something that two men of God need to discuss privately? Why does the world need to know? I don't know about that one. You don't have to announce everything on Twitter and Facebook.
Well, he divorced her now. All he's saying is that you can't go sell this wholesome. Now, I don't know if his ex-wife is his new fiance or if he's just saying when you come back out. They're both releasing new music, by the way.
Right.
So,
just be honest, yeah.
Yeah, so he was just saying, you know what,
he's telling
own it and keep it moving.
A hypocrite. Yeah, I understand that part, but seems like they could have handled that a little better. Well, it seems like it shouldn't have been an issue in the first place. But, you know, and then the other side of it is they're still human beings of flesh and temptation like the rest of us, you know.
Now, in defense of, what is it, Dietrich Haddon. In defense of him, I did read the article quite a bit, and he just said, I tried to live my life and give to the ministry. His wife ended up cheating on him with this guy who's a musician, I guess. Well, anyway, I don't know.
Yeah.
Daniel, you have anything on that?
Well, I think the beef only works in the rap industry. I can't see it
to sell
spiritual or gospel music. So I think it's something that should have been handled mano a mano. And I spoke the way how many people use social media to hash out their personal business.
Yeah.
Just make a phone call, handle it, and let bygones be bygones.
Okay, now, since both of y'all seem to be on the same page and I disagree, guess who I'm bringing in that I know that's going to disagree with both of y'all?
I ain't scared of you, Mo. I ain't scared of you, mofos.
We knew Finesse was going to have something. Now, I didn't mean for this to be on Black on Black, right? And it seemed like gossip, but I think he was right for saying he's doing gospel music, and he's just saying, hey, this happened to me. I'm being honest. Now, this is his business. So he gets to say whatever his business is. He said, my wife cheated on me with that fool. Now, if that fool wants to deny it, that's his business. I divorced my wife, but that's the fool that cheated on him.
Did he name the fool?
Yeah.
Kyrie. If he just said that fool and then that fool responded, then that's on that fool for responding. But if he just said that fool.
No, he said his name.
He shouldn't have did that. That's a black on black crime.
Okay, I'm going to
very powerful, influential men in the ministry.
Yeah.
I am telling you this: you better be glad if I call your name out for wronging me, because if I don't, you and I are going to have some problems. So either A, you get him to call you out as part of his venting, or because all of y'all are saying y'all should handle that mano a mano, and somebody's gonna end up in a ditch if you ask
no,
me
I
to do that.
Wait a minute, I didn't say mano a mano.
Well,
okay.
Mano. I didn't mean putting his hands on him. I mean, man, I didn't mean fight, though. I don't believe in that. Now, okay. I just wanted to get that straight. Now, here's the problem.
If he's a spiritual man, see, this is the problem when you have these gospel artists that put themselves out like this. Because this just happened 2 years ago with Tribe Tibet, whatever his name is.
We had a show. This is why I did this, because on one of the shows, we did talk about him.
Yeah,
in particular.
He did it with a gospel hip-hop artist that was a hip-hop artist, and they were best friends. And they both didn't know that they were cheating with each other's wives. So
you put yourself
out there, you know, it's different when you're in the entertainment and you're married. But when you're in the entertainment industry and you're saying that you're Christian, because people who run around saying they're Christians put themselves up a higher level than everybody else. Mm-hmm. And then that's when it becomes a problem. And so now you out there, if you supposedly that's your brother, you're supposed to either forgive him or you don't. But you take that as pride.
Exactly.
So now, if you want to take some oil and go lay your hands on him,
and then lay your hands on him.
I like how you say take the oil first. Lay oily hands, not dry
fists.
I was trying to ignore that part.
Kai caught my slickness.
Okay.
Then that's a whole nother thing, because you put your hands on him, and then you forgive him after you put your hands on him.
Right. Okay.
That's an ugly situation.
Yeah. When I saw it, I just thought, well, that's all free game. If you cheat, if you're cheating with his wife, who he divorced, he is only telling his own business. And if he knows who cheated on him, it's not wrong for him to call you out for cheating, for sleeping with his wife. I don't think. Now, they're all grown.
But if you're a Christian, I think that is.
Okay, now see, that's different. That's okay, yep.
So that's because
you know, as a Christian, first of all, like I said, they're influential people, so they're already living in a fishbowl anyway. And then as a Christian, you're supposed to lead by example. And there's a lot of people who are influenced by the behaviors that they exhibit. So if you got two men who are settling their differences over a social media, you know, it does become, even if it's not intended to be gossip, it becomes gossip. Because, you know, it's hard being a Christian and then admitting you have flaws and then sharing them with the whole world. It's like we said, that's something that first, as a Christian, you're supposed to at least try to forgive it. And then it sounds like he hasn't healed from it yet, which is perfectly normal. But that seemed like something that they should have been able to talk about.
Yeah, our passing.
Mano and mano without the fist to fist.
Well, in his Facebook message, he wrote, "I do expect Isaac Kyrie, because he called him all by name, to stand up." Uh-huh. And be man enough to own his own mistakes and give his fans the truth they deserve to know. Now, I don't think he said anything in that. Now, you can imply it. We know that he cheated with his wife. But I think that he can say what he wants. That's just me. Maybe I'm wrong. Why did he say that to Isaac Kyrie? Right.
You know, I expect you to tell
him. He could have posted
like,
it on his wall.
To social media? Right.
It's corny anyway because all these people who got beef, they take it to social media. I'm coming to see you.
I don't understand that.
Yeah, I'm coming to see you if I got a problem. I'm not going to put it on social media. Because what this does is, if you go back, let's take it back to the whole Biggie and Tupac thing. The social media back then was a magazine. So all these cats was in the magazine saying stuff. Then you have individuals who don't know any better who start taking this beef to a whole nother level, this East Coast, West Coast.
Right.
So now you have these fans who don't know any better are going to be taking it out. So then what's going to happen? So this is why you take it to the person. If you got issues with it, take it to the person. I think that's a punk move, you know, to do that. Any man or woman who does that.
And this is why Tupac kept saying, this is me and that individual. He said, we have an individual problem. They couldn't stem that down because, again, we had Vibe and Source and every magazine that wanted to be in hip hop hyping that up, putting just the West Coast rappers on the coast and then just putting East Coast rappers on the coast and on their covers. And then they kept pushing it. So we're not pushing any kind of gospel music beef.
Exactly.
We're just saying generally.
And you know what's the only concern with these? You know, as Christians, you find people who are struggling with their Christianity, and then you know you got someone who's going through this kind of drama, and you have someone who's considering, you know, giving their life over, you know, whatever the religion is. And then you, if they're giving their life over supposedly for a better life, and you coming into this Christianity, and you seeing the same kind of stuff, why would you, you know, as a person who's struggling with their Christianity, why would you join a church and get involved in that? It makes the church as a whole look bad.
Right. And even so, the scripture says stumbling your brothers. That's why you're not supposed to know what your left hand is not supposed to know what your right hand is doing.
Right.
You take that in private and counsel and do whatever it is, but you don't put it out there like that.
Right.
And then you got those who are trying to walk the straight and narrow, who are in the church saying, well, if they're falling victim, then I can fall victim too.
Yeah. Right. It's just unfortunate that it had to be handled that way.
And as a side note to this whole gospel thing, I heard Kai mention they're already in the fishbowl. See, these folks put themselves in that fishbowl. So when you put yourself in that fishbowl, you have to act and live accordingly, because that's the first thing that people scoff at is when they hear people say, I'm a Christian, and people always retort and say, yeah, them Christians be the first ones to do this and that.
They sure do. And you wonder why people don't join the church, you know.
Okay, there's no hate on the church today. All right.
That's what people say. That's why people don't join church. You know, that's exactly what people are saying.
I'm with you now.
Because some of the easiest women are in them Baptist churches. I'm just saying.
Okay, see, now I'm going to throw a flag off on that.
Now, on that note,
I just tried to do a couple of news stories before we got to Black on Black Crime, and apparently Finesse almost makes me want to take a commercial, because I was going to skip one, and I almost had to turn bump music on Finesse on that one.
Send your comments and concerns to Black on Black Crime.
Black on Black Crime at soulofsyracuse.com. Y'all know the rules. Just go over there, I reckon. Now, one other news story I want to say, Khalees has a new song out. It's called Jerk Ribs. Now, in the song, it talks nothing about food, by the way. It's supposed to be on her forthcoming album. So she has a new release, if you see it on the internet. And listen to it. Let me know what you think about it. I think it's okay. Khalees is coming out with a new song.
So what's
and
the song
you,
about? If it ain't about jerk chicken?
I don't know. It's Jerk Ribs is the name of the song. Get them. don't make a black on black cry, because that is one.
I can imagine what the song is about with Khalees, Jerk Ribs.
You know, she did milkshake, so I don't know.
She finally got another song out.
Never mind.
I guess that Nas money running out.
All right. You know what? I am going to take a break. You know, we'll come back.
Nate,
you know what I'm going to play?
Nate,
I'm going to play some James Brown. Because we don't want no static.
One mic.
From Finesse. Finesse. All right. You're listening to Black on Black. You got it. Wait a minute. 19 what?
87.
All right. All right. So you're listening to Black on Black Crime on S3 Radio. On Ask Kathleen Network, we're going to be back, and we're going to start off with our first topic on Black on Black Crime, which is going to be, you know, NAACP Ben Jealous. We'll be back after this.
When was the last time something made your jaw drop? Campbell's has 24 new soups that will make it drop over and over again. From Jammin' Jerk Chicken to Creamy Gouda Bisque, see what's new from Campbell's. It's amazing what soup can do.
Welcome to SBNet News, 90-second news version. President Obama honored the six teachers who died shielding students during the Sandy Hook massacre as he named the National Teacher of the Year at a ceremony in the White House Rose Garden. The president said, "The best teachers encourage children's passion and inspire their imagination." Clothing retailer Ralph Lauren will pay more than $1.6 million to the U.S. government to settle a foreign bribery case. the New York headquartered company, discovered the misconduct through an internal audit and promptly reported it to authorities. This quick action meant the firm escaped prosecution for violation of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act of 1977. Newark's only movie theater, Cineplex 12, canceled a film about Mumia Abu-Jamal and pulled it from their schedule. The new feature documentary, Long Distance Revolutionary, A Journey with Mumia Abu-Jamal, chronicles his life and work as a journalist, writer, philosopher, and revolutionary, both before and after his incarceration. The Federal Reserve says it will begin circulating a redesigned $100 bill this fall, more than 2 years after its initial target. The Fed has set a new target date of October 8th. There you have it. I'm Jerome Esprit for Espinet News.
No white jeans after Labor Day. What are you, my grandmother?
I'll rock white jeans whenever I want. And with Tide Plus Bleach, they'll stay white. Not whitish, not eggshell, not A-crew. Whatever that is. White.
That's my Tide. What's yours?
Welcome back to Black on Black. Welcome back to Black on Black Cry. I'm your host, Jerome. I'm on with Finesse. You know, we're going to try to keep Finesse a little tame today. How you doing, Finesse?
Doing good. The commission not here today?
Nope, not yet.
Oh,
not yet. You got
3 weeks in a row? Oh,
you had a little break.
Let me get some more flags in.
She was on the board. She just didn't chime in on you. We have brother Daniel on today. What's up, Daniel?
What's going on? Hey.
Right, and Kai, my girl Kai, is on. Hey, Kai.
Hello. How are you?
All right. Good. Now, I had to bring in with some, you know, a little lighter music for Finesse. Try to woo-saw back out. My first break. Now,
I want to hear Open Letter. If you're going to bring some music in, bring some Open Letter in for me.
Okay, I can do that. I'll do that on our next break. Now, the NAACP had been jealous. I wanted to do this versus the interest of black people because this just kind of killed me when I saw this. Ben Jealous wrote an CNN editorial. In it, it says, it's possible for Republicans to win black votes. And so he said, if you don't know, a new article that came out says America's blacks voted at a higher rate than other minorities in 2012. By most measures, surpassed white turnout for the first time. Census data and exit polling showed that whites and blacks remain the two largest racial groups of eligible voters in the next decade. So don't get twisted. Black people are still the largest minority. Now, last year's heavy black turnout came despite the concerns and the effects of the new voter ID laws for minority voting, so we still had good turnout. Now, Ben Jealous said that the Tea Party worked with the NAACP in Texas last year to pass reforms, prison reforms, and believes that conservatives can win black votes by continuing to be a part of such coalitions. And he also said that Rand Paul made a mistake that many Republicans are making by framing themselves as Lincoln Republicans while ignoring much of the 150 years in between. He was making the reference to Paul's speech at Howard University. So let's start with Kai on this one. What do you think about the NAACP's outreach to the people who want to oppress black people? What do you think about that?
I'm a little confused with that, but I guess the NAACP's goal is to appear to remain neutral and, you know, not take one side over the other side, is my guess, to give everybody equal opportunity, so to speak. But that's not something I would have expected them to do, but,
well,
you know.
Let me finish a little bit more. He said Republicans will not win black votes by paying lip service to the party's history while attacking social programs and voting rights, but they can make inroads by showing a commitment to civil rights, something that, you know, Rand Paul managed to do in his brief remarks. He said something like that. Now, Paul received applause when he told the crowd at Howard, we should not have drug laws or a court system that disproportionately punishes the black community. And he illustrated where the GOP can connect with black voters was the criminal justice system reform. Daniel, what do you think about the NAACP's action of trying to reach out to crazy people?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say they're crazy. They're disconnected. But in this respect, they're connecting at some point. And I think any simple win for the NAACP for the advancement of our people is a step in the right direction. Now, I don't think they'll ever totally change their stripes because they can only reach so far. But, I mean, if you can win a couple of programs to help a few brothers out, then I'm all for it.
But do you think that's in the interest of black people?
Well, it's at this point. If we're not getting anything done, you get it from wherever you can get it. I mean, if they're going to have votes in the Senate and votes in the House that are going to block programs for us, then we may need to go ahead and entertain where it is they're wanting to reach out to us and get the benefits from that.
By any means necessary?
By any means necessary. I mean, if they're going to give it to us, then take it. Now, and if they think that forwards their agenda with black people, then fine. Let them believe that. And in the next 4 years, they'll see the votes go back in the same way. But at least for that limited period of time, you've got some type of benefit for our people.
Okay. Finesse, what do you think about that? What do you think about the whole concept of reaching out to get black people to join their coalitions, thinking that that will make a better time for black people in this in their relationship?
Well, I'm going to answer a question with a few questions. Give
okay.
people time to think. Who's the majority of folks on the board at the NAACP?
See, you don't have to test me on this.
Whose agenda would Mr. Jealous be serving? Because when it boils down to it, it's going to come, they want more money. They're going to please the Democrats, they're going to please the Republicans, they're going to get more money. Those same folks sit on the board. So he's playing both sides. That he knows who runs the NAACP. So, who cares?
All right. So now that you put it that way, because I figured we'd have a hard cutoff here someplace. Now, for me, here's the problem. Here's the problem. When the president had a majority in 2009 and 2010, it was the most productive legislative session in history. It was the most successful legislative session, right? So the bigger problem is now we squandered it by thinking, hey, we should bring everybody else on board until they started becoming more dysfunctional. So we don't really see the difference into reaching out to people who hate you as much as they find an advantage to get you to kind of hear their point of perspective. I don't know if you guys followed that. I know I had a lot of beeping in between my words, but that's the bigger issue.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I can't use generalizations, but the majority of the NAACP offices around the country are not in the communities helping the blacks, helping blacks or minorities.
Right.
So,
They're
not recruiting. They're not coming up with programs. Okay, they're not on the front line, nothing.
Okay, but here is why I want to address this. The NAACP is not talking about helping poor people. We're talking about people who vote. So the difference is that are you being manipulated by the people who are making policy in this country? So
of course we
Ben
know
Jealous,
that.
Well, Ben Jealous is saying to the people who are manipulating everybody else, trying to get black voters to listen to that garbage when they know that they have no interest in the black community. And that not just the black community, they don't have interest in poor people. They don't have an interest in women's-ish rights. They don't have interest in none of that stuff, and they proved it by their words. I'm not just making that up. So when I say that they're crazy, I'm saying they're crazy for having me even listen to them. So a part of that is I know there's this old saying, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. That is retarded. Don't ever do that. Spiritually, in the spiritual world, you're not supposed to do that. You are what you eat, and you are what you absorb. So you shouldn't listen to garbage when you know it's garbage.
The NAACP only thing is they're trying to get money. They need money by any means necessary, and they're going to go to bed with anybody that will listen to them or they can support in order to get that money. And that's been the way it's been ever since they moved us out of a position of power at the NAACP. So it's not surprising.
I'm not bashing the NAACP. Right?
I'm just being truthful.
I'm just pointing out the fact that if somebody walks you into a fire, if you know that this coalition of people don't want you to have services, they don't believe that you need any reparations, that y'all need to move on and all of that, why would you join them in a softball game when you know that they don't want you to eat, right? And so it doesn't matter what they're friends with you for. Just know in the bigger picture, they don't even want you to exist to begin with. That's why we have voter restriction, voter ID laws, and all that other stuff. But Jealous also said...
And now the discussion is the removal of quotas for blacks entering college.
Right, and Rand Paul was one who speared that up. He does not believe that you should have affirmative action in companies, only in public institutions. So if you work for the government and the post office, yeah, they should hire minorities. But if you have a company as big as GE, that there should be no quotas. You should be able to do whatever you want as a private company. That is the problem. So Rand Paul has always been extreme. So for us, even for him, even going to Howard was just crazy. Anyway, I don't even know why they invited that fool. But now there again,
you have institutions who are trying to be friendly and get into bed with people. It's all about money. That's why they invited him to Howard. And it's crazy because Jewish folks don't do it, Greek folks don't do it, Russian folks don't do it, Latino folks don't do it. We're the only one. We're trying to sell out anything just to get a vote.
No other coalition or group bends like black folks do. Like, we really will listen to anybody. And I'm just saying, that just seems kind of crazy. So, that's why I asked the question, should we kind of consider that? And that moves me to my second part of the same subject, because it was Jealous that was saying the 2014 midterm elections will be our real bellwether for black turnout. And here's the thing. Do not believe that garbage. And I'm just saying this as a person that looks at numbers from doing elections, right, for looking at voter numbers. The problem is they're trying to make you think that black people turn out as a fluke, and they're saying he only came out to vote because the president was black, and if the president is not black, black people are apathetical and they won't come out. Well, they said that's why he won, because they didn't expect the turnout to be so high. So if people keep telling you the same thing, you're apathetical, you're not going to turn out. You turned out this time, but let's see about next time. You did this, but it's like winning an NBA championship, right? You win one, they're like, well, what you going to do next year? You just won. Go to the club. Do something. But you don't get to celebrate winning because within 2 months, people are just asking for, well, let's see what you're going to do next time. So according to The Hill magazine, Herman Cain, speaking of this, Cain and Dr. Ben, because it's in the same vein. It's in the same vein. Herman Cain and Dr. Ben Carson and former Ohio Secretary of State Ken Blackwell and activist Avita King. I don't think she's Martin Luther King's relative. But all these people met Armstrong Williams, A.R. Bernard, activist Star Parker, and all these other people met to discuss the potential strategies of reaching the African-American voters. All these black folks, and now the NAACP is saying, how come we don't look at the Republican Party when the Republican Party has been kicking your teeth in for the last 30 years? We need to figure out a way to reach them? Really? You need to, the bully who's taking your lunch money, you need to kind of, you know, talk to him about taking less of your money. That is my point. So Cain says, the focus of the meeting was on how to collectively expose the damaging effects of the current administration to the black community. Now, does that sound like black outreach opposed to blaming the black guy who's sitting there? That's a black-on-black crime anyway, if I ever heard one.
And, you know, I wish I could have just been a fly on the wall to just see. It would be interesting to hear what they're actually talking about. That would have been really, really interesting to hear. Why did I get a visual of hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil when you mention those three names?
Because that's what they do. I'm just pointing this out for discussion because I personally, I don't listen to any of those fools because they are fools. If they are external to your community and telling you how to best run your community but never come in it, don't listen to them.
And they just don't get it. We didn't voter turnout wasn't so high because President Obama was black. It was because he spoke to the issues that were relevant to us.
Right. And
it doesn't take a rocket science to figure that out.
Yeah, and the force against black people was very strong. From what they were saying, they were blaming everything on poor people. Then they blamed everything on women. right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they turned around and then said things like, we should increase the military, almost double it from $900 billion to $1.3 trillion, but we
mm-hmm.
need to cut food stamps. These dudes are living high off the hog. So that
yeah.
goes against the interest of the people who you are talking to about joining you.
Right.
You're saying to them, join us so we can cut all the benefits that you can possibly ever imagine you can have.
Yeah.
You can get rid of your Social Security. Join us
so
we can get rid of your Social Security.
All that education but no common sense. That's what, it's just really
it just
bizarre, you know?
We do have some internet comments, and these were directly reflected of the Ben Carson, those guys meeting. And it says, we shouldn't need to tell an intelligent person to listen to both sides, which I never do. It is something you should know to do, and we shouldn't have to tell you to stop voting for parties and vote for the best candidate for the
right.
for the job. Based on their record is what we should kind of vote for them for. It says,
mm-hmm.
it's not what they say, it's what they do. Now, another one said, I wouldn't want to vote Republican for they care nothing for poor black people and white and disabled black and white. So give me someone who cares for us and not care about how they can be elected for another 4 years and done nothing since they were first voted in. So talk to Rad Paul, ask him what he's done to help anything in your community besides saying we're going to cut the prison system, because he doesn't mean that. They're not going to change the drug laws. They're going to let people out so that people who are selling drugs can make more money.
Just think that I hope this is not a black-on-black crime, but you have people in blackface
mm-hmm.
that are speaking to our issues, but they truly are just playing a role, a facade, because they really don't care about being a city and the things that really affect the core of black people.
Again, that is a part of what the problem is. It's the people who are interested in speaking on your behalf are not really interested in listening to you. That is the moral of the story. So we never come out, especially on this show, well, finesse may sometimes,
well,
but I never come out and say what black people need to do. Because
well, it's almost like they're trying to tell you what's best for you, yet they, like
right.
you said, they don't ask you. I don't try to tell black people what to do. I just tell them to think.
We are all smart enough not to do that. It's because we all don't have anything collectively. So I can't tell you that my way is better than your way, that's better than their way.
Right.
We have nothing, so we should not be fighting to say whose way is better. But in the Herman Cain, Ben Carson way, they're telling us to join a coalition that we have no power in, and they're going to decide what's best for us. That's what
well,
they're
know,
asking you to do.
I know the NAACP, they need to refund my membership money.
I'm not going to even go there. I am not
gonna
go
there. There are a lot of organizations like that, man, that they give
yes,
people
sure
membership
is.
Money and they don't do what the membership asks or what the membership needs. You got the folks mm-hmm. in the upper echelon of the positions, president, vice president, chairman of the board, and they got their own agenda because they're in bed with whoever it is they're trying to get with.
Yeah, well, I don't care who they in bed with. Use protection, but give me back my membership.
God.
All righty. That would be
yeah.
finesse, ladies and gentlemen. Send your comments and I'm stuck. All right,
but
now.
You know, I agree with Daniel. I think it's kind of sad. You know, some of it we have to take ownership of, too.
Don't do that, guy. Don't do that. That's not our fault.
Not going to be a BLB crime, but.
Yes, it is. it's not our fault that we get bad information, guys.
I agree with you, but he's going to give you a flag every time. I got so many of those flags on my shirt.
Yeah.
It's not even
you know
fault.
What? Because you can't go blame black folks for the condition they're in. You can blame them for staying in the condition, but you
well,
cannot
not,
say that.
Not so much for the condition, but for
uh-huh.
the area I'm in, which is a lot of brown people
uh-huh.
and a lot
okay.
of positions of power. I just feel like we could do more
well,
right.
you know, in this area.
And you know
and
what?
We should do more.
And we should, but even this past week, 2 weeks, I agree 100% because looking at what, and I know you guys saw this on national news, the incident, what happened at the jail, black folks and the people of power caught up in that whole scam with that kid running the jails and getting the women pregnant. And then you have some of these other ones embezzling. They're getting these powers of, they're getting these positions, and instead of trying to bring the next person up,
they get comfortable and get caught up looking and saying, well, the white folks do it, I can do it. Look at the number of HBCUs that have closed over the years because of embezzlement or money problems. You know, we have to, if you're going to come up, be responsible because you set the tone for the next individual. I don't care how far we come, how much we've established. It's still, if you act up and you black, it's going to be difficult for the next person to come along and get that position.
And I share that because I'm, you know, you guys probably haven't heard it up there, but it's a whole big scandal down here with the Atlanta public school system.
That's national news.
So imagine how painful that is to watch being someone from the educational background. It's just painful to watch. And so many people suffered, whether innocent or guilty. You know, they're innocent until proven guilty. It's a bad, bad look for people of color when you see these administrators and these principals. And I'm not judging. I don't know if they're guilty or innocent, but something happened that they were indicted. Kids are suffering as a result of that. And that's something that didn't have to happen.
And if I could jump in here, Atlanta is a perfect example of a proportionately black city that had power, had a mayor that was in power, and over the last 15 or so years, they have given back that power. They have ruined that city. They have, you know, done stupid, ridiculous stuff. And now this with the school system. It'll never be right. It's the same thing at D.C. Okay. D.C. used to be Chocolate City. It's not that anymore.
All right. I guess I better take back the show, One Big Black on Black Crime Committed on this program. But I want to give a shout-out. I just want to say hey to Lavina in the chat room. She said, Uncle Herman resurfaces, and don't get me started on Dr. Ben. Because Dr. Ben Carson is crazy as well. And shout out to Beautiful Butterfly, who I missed before, who was in the chat room. But, you know, I have to say this because I have a message from Facebook, and it's a quote from Julianne Malvo, and it came from, I'll just say, Mrs. Briggs on Facebook. It says this, just so that you understand what the topic is. Silence is as much an oppressor as racism is. We are all too afraid to be honest. We would rather be silent. She's talking about congressmen. She said, some of my congressional friends say they stand up for HBCUs, but can't get an HBCU president to speak up for our causes. She said, why? They are judged by what their boards will allow them to do and say without the splashback, is what she said, and what is prudent for their funders to hear. Now, so she said, similarly to those mangled up with corporate chains cannot afford to speak truth to power, even if power wants to hear it. And when our civil rights organizations let sponsorship overtake purpose, you are timidly silent, and there's a death of our progress in corporate, civic, and academic lives. She says, don't get me wrong, some of these connections are mutually useful, but no one should accept a muzzle or put one on someone else to make a good impression. So she summed that up beautifully for me. Just to say, a part of what we're talking about, black on black crime, is the people looking out for other people's interests and the people who are being silent about it because they're scared to say something.
What's that character in Django? What's his name?
Oh, don't bring up Django. I don't know.
Because that's exactly
why we got to bring up old stuff.
Wait, why you got to do that?
See, because that's exactly what some of these. Look, I was watching Black Enterprise yesterday on TV. I was shocked to know that there are two black people that basically run FedEx.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get FedEx to sponsor an HBCU event, but they sponsor the Sugar Bowl or whatever bowl that is. You know what I'm saying? So I look at it like, and we're going back to what Kai said, and I know I'm going to get a flag for this, but if you are in charge, why can't you say, okay, well, we're going to throw some money here and advertise a black newspaper, black radio, or sponsor this HBCU event? To a degree, it's our fault because we're running around here chasing dollars. We are.
And then when you're in power like that and you're asking for stuff, and somebody saying no, you got to be prepared to ask why. Give me a good reason why. Give me a legitimate reason why. But it's like the person wrote in. If we're not going to ask why, or we're not going to challenge why we're being denied, then it's going to keep happening, and the result is we lose the power.
Yep.
And if we're denied, we need to let people know that. You know,
and there's another brother.
And they said, no, we want to know why. When African Americans spend X amount of dollars with that business.
Exactly. Yeah. We have American Express. We have IBM. We've got some big corporations with some black folks involved that's making millions and billions of dollars. And yet we see none of it trickle down into the community.
Well, not a good look.
You know. Yeah, notice that I've been quiet just because, so I'm not committing all of the crimes today.
Well, I'm going to give you a major crime. There's a lot of house Negroes out there.
He was holding out. All right, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. You can call in and join us at area code 909-265-9189. We're going to take a break and come back with more of the show after this. That was, this is Finesse's bump, just because I knew he was just going to tear up. All right, we'll be back after this message.
This moment of uncontrollable laughter was made possible by a 32-year-old man with little to no coordination attempting to execute a simple cartwheel. His name is Sergeant Warner, but young James, our laughing friend here, simply calls him Dad. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Listen to text message.
You still coming?
Call Sharon.
Hey, where are you?
Is that Charlie?
Hello, the Seaway.
You need directions?
No, I'm good.
That's your plan.
Oh, I do.
Luxury well chosen. The 2012 Lincoln MKX.
Only the best dishes make Applebee's 2 for 20 menu. And our newest entrees are just bursting with the jazzed up flavors of Bourbon Street.
Alan, stay focused, buddy. Just need to know that these are your best dishes at a great value.
Yeah, of course.
Who are you talking to anyway?
The world.
The new creamy Cajun steak and shrimp and Cajun shrimp pasta. Big easy means big value on our famous 2 for 20 menu. One app, two entrees, only $20. See you tomorrow.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. You can call in and join us at 909-265-9189. I'm your host, Jerome. We're on with Finesse. And speaking of, before I bring on Finesse, you know, speaking of black-run companies, you're talking about restaurants, Red Lobster, Olive Garden, all of those guys. So there's a lot of companies that actually run by black CEOs. That's nothing new. Right, Finesse? Okay, well, Vanessa's being a little quiet. Hey, Kai, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? You're making me hungry.
I should have
Red Lobster or Olive Garden.
Yeah, they own the Longhorn Steakhouse and all of those other things.
But Darden Restaurant.
Darden, yes, Darden Group owns it. Now, our main topic today on Black Crime, and you know Vanessa's going to go last on this one, because it has to do with Tyler Perry, but actress Essence Atkins versus the Tyler Perry Productions mainly. It's not really Tyler Perry. Now, here's what happened. Essence Atkins said she was addressing the casting of popular personalities instead of actors in films. She said hoping the appearance in those films will increase the audience outreach and boost tickets. She said, I found it interesting that Tyler did that with Temptation hiring Kim Kardashian because she has 16 million Twitter followers, which would seem like a brilliant plan. he has one of the biggest Twitter personalities out there in his movies, and he had one of the worst box office weekends. She said it's not a failure, but it was worse than his other movies usually do when they're based on him, you know, the Madea stuff. She said, I thought it was an interesting find. Your experiment didn't work, is what she said. So I'll go to Kai first. Is that a black on black crime for Essence Atkinson? Who's that, Finesse?
You know, it's not only it might be a black on black crime, and it might be a ding to her career. She could have been the next. She could have been Essence's next movie. But you know, he did that once, twice, maybe. All of the other people are actors, so. I mean, the Kim Kardashian, don't get me wrong, I'm not a Kim Kardashian fan. I understand his strategy. But the Kim Kardashian that started off in the movie is not the same Kim Kardashian that people have grown tired of now. So a year or two later, people are kind of probably over her. They all can't be a box office hit.
I guess I see her point of saying that if you got her because there's 6 million Twitter followers, but that didn't translate into the box office. She said it was an experiment that just didn't work, is all she's saying. She said people want to see good stories. It's not necessarily that they want to see Kim Kardashian in their movies. They want to see her in a bikini, and they want to see her with Kanye West.
Is that what she said or you said?
Yes, I'm quoting her. She says they want to see her on her show talking about her life with her sisters, but that doesn't mean that they want to see her in a movie. The fact that people want to see their lives and the volatility of that, I don't think translate at all. So she's just making a case that there should be more actors in movies. We'll let Danny go on this one. What do you think?
Well, that's not necessarily the reason why the movie didn't do well, because there was a Kim Kardashian in it. Maybe it just wasn't a storyline that people bought into.
I don't think she was blaming her, though. I just want to say that for the record.
Oh, well, what I'm saying is, though, that the point she's making is the reason why the movie may not have done well is because they didn't have actors and had personality in the movie. I don't think that is warranted when you have no empirical evidence to show that that's the case.
Right.
That's just her opinion.
Because it may have bombed even if it wasn't Kim Kardashian in it.
Exactly. I mean, all of his movies haven't made millions and millions of dollars. So he's had a dud every now and then, so this could have been another one of them.
Right.
But like you said, with black actresses struggling to get roles, she might not want to make comments like that towards a man who would probably be the first to hire her for a scene, I mean not for a scene, but for a role, than the next
role,
man.
Right.
Okay, now if you don't know who Essence Atkins is, she's in the movie, or she's on the TV show Are We There Yet?, the Ice Cube produced show, and she's also on the new show that's coming out on Centric, I think it is, with Bill Bellamy. It's another sitcom with Bill Bellamy, and I think it's the one with Gladys Knight and those guys in it. So she's working, and she was promoting A Haunted House, which she starred in with Marlon Wayans at the time. So she was overseas promoting it when she made the comments, but they just pretty much asked her, you know, you ask people stuff on the fly, and they give you news. So they asked her, and she just said that as an actress, because she's totally an actress.
So she blurted out something before she thought about it.
Well, I say she thought about it. It's pretty clear and concise that she just thought, no, I am really not bashing her. And I don't really like her. I don't dislike her. But the issue is that she made an observation. She said, just because you're popular don't mean that you should put people in movies, because a lot of people do that to bring in box office. Who is in the movie so you can get financing? So now let's bring Finesse in. Try not to trash my girl too much, Finesse.
There are a couple of things I want to address. First and foremost, for you folks who are public relations people and you have black clients, teacher clients, to shut up. Help them to answer the question. Help them to answer the question so they don't sound stupid. That's first thing.
Wait. So can I interrupt you right there?
Sure.
As a person who does that for a living, you know I do that with politicians all the time. I craft words and say, here's what you can and cannot say. So it's actually funny to me because I do it all the time. But go ahead.
I do it too. She should have bought RV train. You don't answer questions like that. You can say whatever you want to say with your friends, but you don't answer those questions like that.
Right.
Secondly, let me clear something when it comes to Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry is the most successful writer, director, producer in Hollywood for the 6th year in a row. Every movie that he makes millions of dollars. every movie he makes makes $1 million. It may, in the movie Temptation may not have done as well as it probably should. It still set records. It doesn't cost him that much money to make the movies. But I think a lot of the reason why that movie didn't make as much money as it should is because we've had so much Tyler Perry hating over the last 3 years. It's ridiculous. it's just crazy and it's just ridiculous. Now,
I like that directed towards me.
Here's another thing, Miss Essence Atkins. Tyler Perry's a smart man. I'm going to tell you why. He put Kim Kardashian in a movie. Of course he was. If we could get Kim Kardashian to come on his show, we would do it. If you get more ratings, you get more followers, anybody would do that.
Right.
But here's the other thing. He wasn't thinking about the movies. He's thinking about the DVD sales. Because we all know the majority of white folks ain't going to no movie theater with your loudmouth black folks. They're going to go buy the DVD.
First of all, you were not.
I know
you're getting a flag on that one.
I committed a crime. But
yes,
just,
you sure did.
I'm just saying. Black
you
folks
sure did.
Not going to the movie theaters with you. Listen, we all know.
If you're
going to
stereotype black people, just say it for what it is.
I'm going to stereotype black people that live in Baltimore, in Atlanta, in Cleveland.
Oh,
I'm going to stereotype because we know it's true. I don't even like going to the movie theaters when they all there because I can't hear the freaking movie. So if I'm saying it, you know they saying it.
Well, stereotype this. They won't look for Kim Kardashian on the bootleg.
Those black folks won't, but white folks are going to go buy that movie.
Small observation. So if Kim Kardashian has a gazillion followers, I mean, at the end of the day, Tyler Perry is a genius. This is about making money. Isn't that what people get in the business of doing? I mean, you have a passion for doing your movies and so forth, but passion doesn't pay the bills. You want butts in a seat. So you can pay, you want to get paid, and you want to pay your actors. So if Kim Kardashian has a gazillion followers, whether we like her or not, even the fact that we're talking about her now is a part of the marketing tool. She would bring her followers to the movie. Unlike Essence Atkins said, I'm not a fan of Kim Kardashian, but I'm going to speak on behalf of her fans and say maybe they do want to see her in more than a bikini. And maybe they're her followers because they're her loyal followers, and they just want to see her. I'm not going to trash Beyonce, but people come to see Beyonce because they're Beyonce fans. Now, whether she's a good actor or not is a different story. But they're fans of Beyonce, so they're going to come to a movie that Beyonce is in.
From
a marketing perspective, I'm not sure why people are mad at him. He's trying to put butts in the seats.
Right. Okay.
And he's proven his loyalty over and over. He's proven his loyalty to the people who support him over and over. He has a huge, like a mega studio down here that's employed. I mean, he's done a huge contribution to the community of Atlanta based on the people he's hired to run his studio, to direct his cast, to do his movies. So he's been more than loyal to his fans.
Ask Cicely Tyson how she feels about Tyler.
Exactly.
Because he gives black folks jobs. This is why I understand black folks. Why are you complaining? White Hollywood has done this and used us for years. Now, here this man comes along. He's flipping the script. Kim Kardashian got 16 million followers on Twitter, 10%. What's 10% of that? Is that 6 million? Am I right? I'm off on my math.
Mm-hmm.
But that's 6 million. You times 6 million times, let's say the DVD's at Walmart for $10. That's a genius. And then it's going to come on TV next year. How many times does he gets paid every time that movie runs? Get out of here.
Yes, yep. 1,000 times on CBS.
Okay, I'm gonna stop your love fest, and I'm not going to try not to throw the word.
You're a Tyler Perry hater anyway. Already know what's coming from you.
No, if I was a Tyler Perry hater, I would mute you. Now, see, here's how this goes. Because technically, I don't use the word genius lightly, so I'm going to tell you this. He knows what he's doing. I'm not critiquing him or criticizing him. And even when I went and watched his movies, I wasn't that mad at him. So I'll let Daniel have at this. We know I haven't heard from Daniel in a while. Daniel, what do you think about this?
Well, the man has shown over and over that he knows what to do. I mean, he's duplicating his success with his Madea movies. Stepping outside the box and doing some other movies that touch the heartstrings of African Americans as far as relationships. So I can't really find fault in someone who's shown success.
when you have directors that are one-shot wonders, if God's been able to duplicate his success, and that's part of anyone becoming successful is to be able to duplicate their success. That's one of the things that's taught in business schools. If you can create something that duplicates itself, you'll be a million billionaire. So because he wanted to put Kim Kardashian in a movie for whatever reason, he did what he wanted to do. And as you stated, for the DVD sales and internet sales and it coming on television, people are going to tune in to see her. I mean, they may not necessarily like her performance, but they're at least going to check her out.
And you know what that does for Tyler Perry? That means that's somebody else who may not even like black films, may not understand black culture, but they're going to take a listen and they're going to say, hey, wow, he made a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
That's how TNT, they's like, wow, this guy, he puts out stuff and it's good, so we're going to put it on TV. I don't understand why people are so mad. They want somebody who shows a different side of black culture, and he does. He keeps the spirituality. He dumbs it down to a point for those who understand that can't understand other directors' movies. But
right.
He stays in his lane. I can't get mad at him for that. And I'm going to tell you something. If I call Esquire up during the week and Kim Kardashian said, I want to be on Black on Black Crime to talk about this new video that Ray J put out about me, you doggone Skippy was going to have Kim Kardashian on there.
Just please don't bring Ray J. That's a Black on Black Crime.
Oh, no, we won't bring that fool.
But please don't bring Ray J.
That's a Black on Black Crime because he can't get on the show.
Okay, I'm about to commit a crime, but since it's not a black-on-black crime, I do not want to hear Kim Kardashian whining on this show. So you can do what you
know
want.
What?
You can take it if you like.
I'll take her over him. Oh,
please, you're right about that. I'm sorry. I'm going to retract that last statement. I'm not going to edit it out of the show, but I would rather have Brandy.
I want him to just go
somewhere.
Well,
you got to look at it this way. It's all about business, and there's nothing wrong if somebody wants to come on this show. Look, no one else is giving Kim a shot. Kim seriously wants to get into acting. No one else would give her a shot. Now, because she did this Tyler Perry movie, guess what? She's starting to get a lot of scripts.
Oh, wait. We're stopping the show on Kim Kardashian. We ain't talking about her. Now, here's some of the internet comments. We did a whole Tyler Perry show last time. And now we are on Kim Kardashian, really? Bad
Kim
girl.
Kim has black. She didn't have a black baby.
Oh, God, never mind.
Oh, God.
She is never mind.
Daniel, before I have to mute Finesse, she likes jumping that.
What do you mean?
Never mind. Never mind. Don't jump into that. Kai, I think we're going to have to hold it down for sanity in a minute. All right, so here's some internet comments. One says, the members of the public wear over and over that they want honest statements from celebrities instead of canned, rehearsed statements. Then, when someone makes a real statement, the public doesn't welcome it honestly. And that is about Essence Atkins, right?
The problem
they ask her questions, she answered it.
Essence isn't saying nothing. That's the problem. Essence, shut up.
Whatever to
get
your
you –
you're about to get muted. Nope, she can do what she wants to. Now, another one says, think Essence
is
very
would you
brave.
Would you let your politician say whatever?
No, I want them to
win. Okay, then.
Now, this one says they think that Essence is very brave and gracious as a black actor in Hollywood should see just sit there with a straight face, just give some pointless interview about, gee, the Wayans are so funny and I'm happy to be here, or should she speak from an intelligent and serious issues about casting, especially in black movies? She said his comment wasn't hateful, or her comment wasn't hateful. It was nothing of the sort. And they think that it's important for black actors to use the opportunity to speak about those kind of issues. Nothing's wrong with
them
speaking about it.
Tyler Perry cast 95% black. Who said that?
Wait a minute. I'm saying this based upon the article, because the article was kind of about them asking her about the production of black people in movies. It wasn't necessarily about Tyler Perry. She wasn't really taking a shot at him, but she was saying people who are non-actors coming into movies that black actors have a hard time finding roles in.
It's been
We're
doing
not
that
saying,
for years. Jim Brown did that. Jim Brown, Burt Reynolds, the list, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. We can go on and on. It's nothing new.
Now, another internet comment said, I'm not a fan of Tyler Perry movies, but I can concede that he has cornered the market on his genre. They don't appeal to me, but they obviously have audience. He consistently opens his movies in the 20 million range. If a man will don a dress and put butts in the seats, I think that he's not above stunt casting or casting by popularity. So the Kim K thing didn't sting, is what they said. I see your point, but he's just one man. Now, I actually agree with that. I'm not hating on him because he made the statement. I'm just saying he made a statement and cool.
You know, but these are the kind of movies that Essence Atkins, these are the roles she would be getting. You know, Tyler Perry
right.
probably has her on the agenda for the next one, but now she just canceled herself. I think that people need these are questions that white media has that we got to stop answering. I think it's crazy how every week there's something. And again, let me be clear. I'm a huge Spike Lee fan. I get his movies. But I like Tyler Perry. I understand where he's going and his audience. I don't think it's fair that any black person in entertainment that's in media should ever criticize anybody that's doing anything because you don't see it in white media like that. You don't.
Well,
and we sit here and
white
we,
or Latino or any other media.
Right. So we allow them to ask us questions about somebody else. And then that gets printed where it could have been taken out of context, but it's too late. It's out there. We need to stop. And for people that be out there tweeting and saying, don't go see Tyler Perry movie, he's this, he's that, you need to stop it. Stop it.
Again, I don't think that she is bashing Tyler Perry more than she is the production.
Right.
She's just saying
but that's
that
how
in
it
the
comes
production.
Off.
I know it comes off that way, and hopefully Tyler Perry is bigger than that and sees past it.
Yeah.
And reads the article that I read.
And I'm a huge Essence Atkins fan. I don't think she was necessarily bashing him. I admire the fact that she was bold enough to speak about it, but sometimes it's not what you say, it's how you say it. You know, and she probably could have worded it a little better, but she should be allowed to say what she feels, but... You may have wanted to think about that one a little more before the words actually came out.
But see, here's the problem. Like, I teach my people from doing PR. When you're dealing with white media, they're going to chop it up to fit whatever their agenda is.
That's right.
You know? So, and that's what you got to be careful of. You don't see Denzel. You don't. One time they did this year when he said, when Denzel said he had some white friends, and then that got corrected real quickly. Because his PR was all over that. But you don't see Denzel, you don't see Wesley Snipes, you don't see them misquoted at all. And if you do, it's going to be some repercussions. So you have to be careful because we know this. We know that white media is going to flip something just to keep something going. And this whole thing about Tyler Perry, and this is why it's done, because these white studio heads can't understand how this black man
is making that money.
6 years in a row is making this money. They can't understand it. That's where this all stems from. So you go ask Spike Lee. Why are you going to ask Spike Lee about another director?
On that note, since we're not going to commit any more crimes on this show, we're going to move to news and entertainment. Let's go to our news and entertainment section of the show. We're not going to even ask if that was a black-on-black crime. I don't want to hear an answer to that. See how I do? I meant to mute Finesse when I said that. I meant to mute Finesse. My bad, Kai. You had to hear that. He said it's a cry. Don't do the crime, can't do the time. All right.
Hey,
now
we all know about that, don't we?
Okay, no. All right. Here is something that's near and dear to Finesse's heart. Spin Media. And if you don't know who Spin Media is, Spin Magazine, folks. I know. I should have brought you down first and then do that, right?
I'm about to get angry. I'm about to catch all kind of flags now.
All right, should I do a more mellow one first?
I think you need to let me woo-saw because I was upset about this Tyler Perry thing. Let me woo-saw a second before
okay,
we get out.
Let's let him woo-saw on this one because I have a thing for Kai. Kai, I'm not sure if you heard this, but, you know, President Obama warned his daughters that if they get tattoos, that he and the First Lady will get matching tattoos in the same place. That's what he said on,
I did hear that.
On the Today Show. He said that he hoped that his family tattoo threat will discourage teen rebellion because Malia's 14 and Sasha is 11. But they said they promised that if they did it, they would show them off on YouTube. They really wanted to embarrass their kids.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's not a good look.
I'm just saying, that is a way to threaten your kids. You know he's going to get millions of views for it, so I think the girls are going to, they're going to kind of be all right with that. And also, I don't know if you saw the president's, the White House correspondence dinner where they crack all those jokes.
Pieces of it.
Oh, he was hilarious. But he always does a really good job. And so for I had to pick up these two because of Black on Black Crime. We actually talked about this, him and Kamala Harris, the attorney general. His joke was, now it was over 3,000 people in the audience and who knows how many in the viewing audience, millions. And the president said, like, I'm out in California, we're at a fundraiser, we're having a nice time, and I happen to mention that Kamala Harris is the best-looking attorney general in the country. As you can imagine, I got trouble when I got back home. Who knew Eric Holder would be so sensitive? Now, he didn't. The first lady actually thought that was funny.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't Michelle like everybody was committing on black-on-black crime what was going to happen
right.
when he got home. But he was least able to crack that joke. And his one Jay-Z joke about Cuba was, he got 99 problems and now Jay-Z's one. So he did crack that joke as well. So the president.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Oh.
Daniel,
I wonder if people understood that.
Oh, well, when he said it, he looked at the Fox News. We got it. You know, he looked at the Fox News table and said, that's a rap reference. So
yeah.
Because he knew they were going to run with it. He did bash them for it.
Uh-huh.
So, Daniel, did you see any of that dinner?
No,
the
I didn't. Now, who did the correspondence dinner? Who was the comedian?
What's the Reddit?
Was Conan was the host. Conan O'Brien
Conan
was the host.
Okay. No, I hadn't seen it. Conan, to me, is not really funny, so maybe he was able to pull that one off. Who knows?
He's not the young. I did hear part where he said something about he's not the young, strapping Muslim socialist that he used to be.
Yeah, he did start off that way.
I was like, okay.
I think it's a part of what everybody's hate is with the president. Like, when you have that kind of timing, you're funny, have good delivery, it's like hating the popular kid. Like, they don't hate him for his policies more than they hate the fact that he bashed people. Like, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann had a really angry tweet that I can't remember because I was going to keep it. But what he said about her is they said something about his outreach to Congress and that he should spend more time with them. So he said, I even planned on going to hang out with Michelle Bachmann for a book burning. That was hilarious. So I think she got a little mad. When you see Michelle Bachmann's nasty tweets about the president and the White House Correspondents' Dinner, it's because that joke everybody fell out on.
Oh, wow.
That is always a problem. All right, Finesse, are you calmed down yet?
Oh, yeah, I'm calm.
Had to check on Finesse. You good?
I'm good for right now, yes.
All right. So Spin Media bought Vibe magazine for an undisclosed amount. It is believed that the magazine will solely be released online as opposed to the print version. Spin Media announced the sale of the magazine this week. Well, they brought the rights to Vibe's print magazine as well as to its related sites, Vibe.com and Vibe Vixen from Vibe Media. That's according to the New York Times. Vibe magazine was founded in 92 by music legend Quincy Jones and Time Warner. Who knew that they both owned that? It was shut down abruptly in 2009 after advertising revenue went on them, but within months it was revived by a private equity investor. So Spin, which shut down its publication of Spin magazine and laid off a third of its staff in order to concentrate on its website, said it will probably shut down Vibe's print magazine later this year. And the president or whoever of Spin Media said, we're still trying to find a print model that makes economic sense in the digital age. So they're going to shut down print version of Vibe as well.
So
they're going to come back.
More people will lose their jobs.
Yes. The more people are going to lose their job. Let's let Daniel in on this first about Vibe.
Well, I didn't realize that Vibe had been around that long since 92, so that shocks me for one thing. But the other deal is when you think about somebody investing money, I mean, they're going to do what's best for them. So, again, since it's been so far removed from a black, quote-unquote, cause, they're just doing what men do when they've invested money and try to make money. And I think a lot of people are going away from print media. You can think about that with newspapers and things of the sort.
and people are doing a lot more of their reading online, so it makes sense.
I don't know. It just seems like kind of the opportune moment to buy somebody and then shut them down is kind of crazy to me. But they do what
they do. Well, once you buy it, it's yours. You know?
That's true. That's true. Just buy them just to get rid of them.
Exactly. I mean, you know, that's why you have to call them venture capitalists. You know, they've got something else up their sleeves. So they go in, they buy whatever it is, and it could be because it was something that was in competition with something that they had an interest in. So
vulture capitalists. Either one.
Is that what they call it?
They call them vulture capitalists. They go in. Just think about what happened to Hostess, right? They came in,
right.
Didn't want to pay the unions. They didn't want to pay the pensions. They dissolved them because they figured, other than making Hostess Twinkies and Dolly Madison apple pie, which I like, opposed to making any of that stuff, the brands had more value to sell. So the venture capitalists came and bought them, starved out the union, filed bankruptcy, and then sold the name. That's what venture capitalists do for you.
Wow.
Mitt Romney. Kai, you're up. What do you think about
that? You know what the concern is? That I'm with Daniel. I didn't know Vibe had been around that long. But I guess I'm looking at it from the point of view that it's another what started off as a black voice and then became a watered down black voice. Now an almost non-existent black voice. It's another example of how our voices will be silent because, one, you know the content is going to change, and it has from beginning to now. And the other thing is, again, just like we talked about the HBCUs and so forth, it's unfortunate that this is something that couldn't survive. And even if a venture capitalist or entrepreneur or someone of similar interest was able to buy it. But, I mean, does Spin Media really care about what Vibe is talking about? And do they really care about the voice of the African-American community? Or are they just concerned with the brand?
Right.
And then you can think about it this way, too. Once these guys have run these businesses for X amount of years, they get tired of doing it. And if somebody comes calling and said, hey, I know you've been doing this for 10, 15 years. We're willing to take it off your hands. You know, we promise to continue on and show them the mission of Essence Magazine or whomever.
Mm-hmm.
Then you say, you know what? I put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. Now it's time for me to profit from this. We've served the community well, so let's go ahead and sell it. I mean, that happens with a lot of our black businesses. And next thing you know, all that they had built into it for the last 20, 25 years goes up in smoke because the new guy decides, you know what, we're going to take this a different direction.
Exactly.
And that's what happened.
Right. Just like our earlier topic about Herman Cain and NAACP, we know what's best for them. And on that note, we're going to talk about the essence having a white editor in chief and determining what fashion is. I present to you Finesse. Go ahead,
please.
Finesse.
It's a Jay-Z takeover. That's exactly what it is. I have no problem with publications going digital. That is the wave of the future. And Vibe, I remember getting the Vibe of Jack the Rapper back in 92, the summer of 92, of getting the very first feature, Quincy Jones. I've been a Vibe supporter forever. I didn't like it when they raised their subscription fee because they try to be like everybody else. But the thing about Vibe was they covered all areas of music as far as black folks were as concerned, from rock to alternative, anybody, the fashion, the technology, they did it all. Vibe started to change, though, when the East Coast, West Coast wars, and that became the first social media. Then it became a rumor magazine. I disliked it. Quincy, you know, let his son, QD3, take over then, I believe. So, and then it was just changing in the editors, people who didn't really know about content. They just wanted to get their face out there. I thought Vibe Vixen was good because it presented a chance for black females or women of color to be just as visible as the women that were in Cosmopolitan, Maxim magazine, and all that other stuff. Spin magazine, Rolling Stone magazine, the two magazines that basically buried those magazines was Vibe and Source, for the simple reason, now we didn't have to buy the Spin or Rolling Stone, and I actually canceled my subscription, Billboard, because now I was getting the information I wanted from. And I got XXL in there. So XXL,
Vibe, Source. I remember when the Source was just an 8 by 14 or an 8 by 11 sheet of paper when they first started. So right. I've been very supportive, and I watched them grow. I saw the ad advertisement that was in there. You get into the 2000s, and then you start hearing these rumors about how these ad agencies were told to ice out these black publications. Essence Magazine was the first one. She sold out. Then all of a sudden, Vibe went shut down. They forced the Source magazine to close. So now you have these white publications who are saying, we're going to take the black culture, we're going to put what we want in here in the magazine, and we're going to say, look, black folks, you can come read this magazine. So once they got the readership up in those black magazines, then the ad revenue went up. So now you have the Source, the Vibe, who come back, and then you have Essence already sold. They're trying to get money, but now they've only gotten 12%. So that 12% was going to go to one of the other magazines. Well, due to internal conflicts and editors, the Source kind of canceled itself out. So Vibe was on the rise again just a few years after 2009. They were on the rise again, and now this happened. I have a problem when we sell our media to other people. Russell Simmons has, I bet you people didn't even know this, he has an online magazine. I don't understand why he didn't buy that and combine that with his. Maybe they offered him. I don't know, so I can't say that. But I have a problem when we start taking our voices out and then we saying our voice should be this. Because I'm telling you, I read many publications. I read anything that's Jewish, and they have a ton of publications, Latinos, Catholics. I read it all because I just want to see what goes out. I want to learn about other cultures and their communities. And I don't see these folks selling out their publications. And they get ad dollars. We sell our stuff. We sell our stuff because we look at money, and I understand about venture capitalists, but I think the first offer should always be made to somebody in black media. I look at Bill Cosby when he was trying to get NBC. I look at Bob Johnson when he didn't even give Bill Cosby the chance, and he had the investors to buy BET. I look at everyone who has a TV station now. Instead of merging as one to get the best brand and the best product, they're fighting over 10% of ad money because that money is going to everybody else first. And they're not thinking. And you wonder why black folks are divided on the low end. It's because they're divided on the top end. And that goes from the arguing about Spike and Tyler to ad dollars to Essence being brought out. To the TV shows, there's a division. It's that, you know, and if they don't pull it together at the top, it'll never be pulled together at the bottom. It'll never come together.
I want to say this for the record. We have never, I don't remember, saying boycott any movie. We don't believe in that on black. And I'm very bad about that because I know this. Just because I'm not interested in it, if Kai's interested in it, fine, it can exist. If Daniel's interested in it, it can exist. If anybody who I know or don't know that's black is interested in it, fine. But the only time I will say that is if we're being exploited, and I'll say get a bootleg. But otherwise, I won't really go that far. Now, I just want to say, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. We're towards the end of the show, but I want to mention in the chat room, Lavina said, it's a shame good publications are being shut down because of sites like Media Takeout. Mm-hmm. Hip Hop, World Star are gaining so much popularity, and something like Boss Up, I actually look on there every now and then. She said, I hope Vibe doesn't change and go in that direction.
You can cancel that out because what white folks consider black is Jay-Z, Frank Ocean, Beyonce. It's like black history every month. We only learn about Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King, and Malcolm X. It's like nothing else exists, and it's sad because we need. There's nothing wrong with having our own culture, and that's the problem. Black folks act like it's a problem to say, "Hey, I'm black and I'm proud. I support this black newspaper, this black magazine." It's like you ashamed. What are you ashamed?
Everybody wants to be integrated. I know we had Daniel off. Daniel, did you want to jump in here?
Well, just kind of what you said. I think if you're too much to the right or too much to the left, you don't get the roles. So everybody wants to kind of water down their blackness and kind of get into the whole crossover mindset or be thought of as a crossover or someone who's open to being something other than just a black actor, a black artist. It's more palatable to the powers that be.
And I think
I was going to say, Finesse, I did go see 42 right after we got off the air.
Great movie. Enjoyed it.
Thanks. Good, good. Now go see some Temptation as well.
I'm gonna throw a flag on that.
No, not
Temptation.
Not
Temptation. Always... Kai, did you want to add on to that? Not the Temptations or the 42 thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with both Vanessa and Daniel. It's just unfortunate. You know, you kind of be like Jesse Jackson and keep up, not like Jesse Jackson, but, you know.
You just want to keep hope alive.
You're trying to keep hope alive. But, you know, it is. It's a catch-22. Someone who's just been doing that for so long, maybe they feel like it's time to pass on the torch and to try something different. But at the risk of your baby or your creation or your prize being watered down or exploited or, you know, do you sell because the profit is right or do you sell because it's the right thing to do? It's just unfortunate because it leaves a lot of people like us, readers and so forth, who supported such projects. It kind of leaves us without a voice. Or it could go another way where it might motivate us. When they step out, it might be time for us to step in.
Well, that tends to happen with anything that we own, it seems. If we've got property, we've got land, we'll pass it to the next generation and they'll squander
right.
it, or give it away, or won't pay the property
right.
back. Whereas you'll
right.
find others who will maintain and continue to build family wealth. You know,
yeah.
and you look at a certain magazine like Essence and some of the other, the Johnson publication, why
right.
would he allow that? Why would the family allow that to be watered down after it was such a groundbreaking publication?
It still can be. I mean, we talked about this a few weeks ago when we were talking about Jada Pinkett Smith talking about, you know, blacks on the covers of magazines. I don't know if you guys know, but People magazines pick their most beautiful women in the world. She fine, but she ain't finer than Zoe Saldana, and she ain't on the cover.
Oh, no, don't
do it's fine. When it sounds so fine, I mean, she fine, but she ain't the finest woman in the world. And this is the
okay, oh, I saw that too, man. I might
get a flag on that one.
I couldn't believe that either. Finesse, I couldn't believe it either. I say, what?
Yeah.
What is Paltrow?
That's what I'm saying. Iron Man and all. I'm going to go see Iron Man, but you ain't that fine. You see what I'm saying? So if we had,
but not the most beautiful piece.
This is what happens, okay? If we had Essence magazine under our control, we can put who we want as the finest woman of
right.
the year. We're
exactly.
never going to get that. If we do, she's gonna be as light as possible. We'll never get a dark skinned sister on the cover of a magazine.
Wait
or
a minute,
somebody that's a plus size. We'll never
didn't
get
we
that
just,
because right.
Huh? Didn't we just talk about this where Jada Pinkett said about having a white woman on the cover of Essence? Didn't we just have this conversation?
But
People
magazine just voted this woman the finest woman of the year.
I don't think they called her the finest.
People can understand. Because that's what when I look at the magazine, when I'm looking at the magazine, it's saying to me that you're telling me she's the finest woman of the year. I'm keeping it black. If the white folks are listening, you don't understand that. That's what it looks like you're saying to me. She fine. I give y'all she fine, but she ain't fine.
Some of the white people were upset, too, because even they were like, she's not the most beautiful person. There were a lot of other people who should have been put on the cover of that magazine. And I agree.
Nothing
against Gwyneth Paltrow, but no.
Well, you see, when you got that Marvel money and that movie getting ready to come out, can buy these kind of things, because I know that cover
yeah.
was bought. There's no way in the world that they pick Gwyneth. You can't tell me that I almost said the N-word was in the room that she going to be the finest woman. There's no way. And I'm saying, I think she's fine, but she ain't that fine. And she definitely ain't finer than a lot of the
You think Gwyneth Paltrow is fine?
I think she's fine.
We have to talk.
Yeah, I know that's right.
And I ain't saying I would date her. I didn't even sleep with her. I'm just saying she's fine.
Oh, gosh. That's why we hit the outro music. You know what? The fine word is in the Pam Grier category. That's what fine is.
Pam Grier is sexy.
Sexy Trump
fine anytime.
So go ahead, Kai.
You know my stance.
What?
Maya Harris is fine.
You know what? The singer Maya... I just saw a picture of her, and I wanted to pat Daniel on the back. She is pretty. Who do you think?
Why just put Kim Kardashian on the cover?
I'm glad we're on the outro. Thanks for coming out.
That'll help the movie
note.
Temptation out. Put her on the cover.
All right. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. I want to thank everyone for joining us. Vanessa's about to lose her mind and get muted. She is not black.
She got some black hair. Even... Why does she keep saying that? She has some black hair. I saw the video.
Okay. I just put Vanessa on mute. You know what he did? It's what I'm going to now call a Dwight Howard. He got kicked out the game on purpose. But that, you are now the new Dwight Howard. Thank you on Black on Black Crime.
That was a good one.
I'll let Vanessa respond to that. What you want, Vanessa?
Hey, call me D12. That's what Ray J said.
Oh, God. Okay. He is muted. It's for good on that one. All right.
Call Ray J later. Don't come.
All right. For D12, better known as Finesse, and Zoe Zaldana's husband, Finesse, Kai, and Daniel. We'll be back next week. Listen to Black on Black Ride. Later, people.
Have a great week, guys.
Bye. Have a good week. Bye-bye.
All right.